Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 153 of Cyclocross Radio. On today's show, we got Scott Herman back on the show. Scott Herman, the unofficial official voice of American cyclocross. He is here to talk to us about the season. He's here to uplift my spirits, which he's very good at doing, about the upcoming cyclocross season. So we are going to get to that in just a second, right after I tell you about Whoop, the Whoop band. I got mine on right now. I'm telling you, we're up. We recorded this episode in Breckenridge. We're here for the Breck Epic. Scott was racing. I was taking pictures. And this is the time where you really see what the Whoop strap can do, because everything that I usually do when I'm at sea level, when I'm in DC, is different here at 10,000 feet and above. So it looks at my recovery, looks at heart rate variability. That's the big thing, HRV. And I know when that starts going down that I'm really not ready to go full effort. I want my HRV up. I want my resting heart rate down. I want that sleep up. And these are all things that I can monitor and I can analyze with the help of the Whoop strap. So here's what we got going on at Wide Angle Podium. We are going to give our listeners a discount for either an annual or an 18-month membership. You go to whoop.com, you put in CXHAIRS, C-X-H-A-I-R-S, as the coupon code, and you are going to get 15% off of that annual or 18-month subscription. It's an awesome deal, and I really want you to take advantage of it. And just going off script here, not reading from the copy, we want to keep Whoop as a sponsor. I love it. I have mine. I think it's great. I think you guys are going to benefit from it too. But what I need from you all, if you've heard, if you've listened to the Slow Ride, if you've listened to the Gravel Lot, if you've listened to Bike Shop CX, if you've listened to this show and you've heard us talk about the Whoop band, and you're thinking about it, I want you to pull that trigger now. Now's the time. I need you to act. Go to whoop.com, put in that CXHAIRS coupon code. You're not going to be disappointed. It helps you, it helps us, and then we can continue doing what we do. And what we do is produce content like this over at the Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network. One of the cool things we have upcoming is that we're going to be at Trek CX Cup. You should go to trekcxcup.com, go register for those races, and then come visit us. Oh my goodness, it's coming up. It's like, what, 3-4 weeks away. We're already into cross season. We're going to be in Waterloo. We're going to be watching the best in the world. All of the hosts from your favorite Wide Angle Podium shows are going to be there, and we want you to be there too. So come join us in Waterloo for the Trek CX Cup and that Waterloo World Cup. And I think that's about it. Grimper Coffee. Go buy some coffee. Jeez, I need some more coffee right now because I keep forgetting about Grimper Coffee, Grimper Brothers Coffee. I can't even get the name right. It doesn't matter. Full Schleck, Hello Cyclocross Friends, Espresso. Get onto the wideanglepodium.com site. Go over to the right-hand side on the sidebar. You'll see Grimper Brothers there. Click on it. Subscribe to their coffee, buy the Full Schleck, buy the Hello Cyclocross Friends. Everybody wins once again. It's going to affect your Whoop band. You'll see your heart rate just go up once you get that jolt of coffee in the morning. All right, that's about it. Cyclocross coming up soon. Go Cross. Get on over to Go Cross and in Roanoke, Virginia. We want to see all of you out there at the races. That's going to be the first UCI race of the year. I'm going to be there covering it. I want to see you out there racing it. Okay, let's talk to Scott Herman about cyclocross. And let's do that right now.
I'm actually going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that I just hit record and we're now recording.
I know. Okay.
But Scott Herman, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Where are we, Scott?
Well, we're in building three, floor six, room something. I don't know where it is other than Breckenridge.
Breckenridge.
Colorado.
Yeah. And I'm here with the easy job. I'm just taking pictures. You're actually racing the Breck Epic.
You know, racing might be a strong term. It's like I'm riding my bike fast and someone's timing it. How's that?
Did was this on your calendar before you got the job to work amateur road nationals? Did I get that right? Masters.
You got it. Masters National Championship, Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Which is what you did before coming out here.
Yeah. No, this was on my calendar since last year.
Okay.
And it just so happens we were at an event, I don't know, a couple months ago, and Sean Brett from USA Cycling said, since you turned me down for Masters, and I said, tell me when that is again. And it turns out that Masters Road Nats finished on Sunday, and this started on Wednesday. And so I thought, why not live Bill Chaiken's life and just sort of bridge the two and hang out in Colorado for a few days.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, I think that if you ask Julie, she has a little different take on what's wrong with that, but no, nothing wrong with that.
So Heather, my wife, came with me. We went to mountain bike nationals together.
Oh, right.
And then I had never been, I'd never been to Winter Park. I'd never been to Breckenridge. We actually ended up staying in Keystone, which you all rode through yesterday.
Rode right by it, right?
Yeah. And had never been to this area ever in my life. And now I'm back here like twice in 10 days. And I'm like, you know, texting Heather. I'm like, hey, you know that hike we did? I was just there again because taking pictures because the race went right through there. I just had no idea that this was going to, we were going to be right back here. So it's been,
it's hard to not be enamored by these beautiful kind of places, right?
Yeah, no, it's great. I love it. I love being able to drive out there and just hike around and then take some pictures and get back into the vehicle and drive back to town at 10,000 and 12,000 feet. It's got to be a little different when you're pedaling a bike.
It's a little different when you're not a pro, I'd say. Yeah. It's a little bit different. I keep making the joke that I'm like, for a guy that's never been an endurance athlete and only can sort of handle my bike, they're interesting days for sure. They're long days.
How are you doing with the altitude?
Well, you know, not as bad because I came out and hung out in Colorado Springs for 5 days ahead of time. That really helped. When you come from Cincinnati, is like 800 feet above sea level and come up here, I make the joke all the time. Like, you have the flu for the first 3 days. That's what you feel like. Yeah. Right? But this year it hasn't been bad.
We were doing these hikes when we were here a few weeks ago and, you know, at like 10,000, 11,000, 12,000 feet. And I was like, awesome. This is my altitude training camp. And then I went back and my ride when I got home was still awful, but I started at 180 feet and I climbed all the way up to 300 feet.
Felt like you accomplished something.
Oh yeah. No, it was a big day in DC.
Today during the race, there were two big hike a bike sections and like 45 minutes for one and maybe 20 plus minutes for the other. And the one fact I took away from it is I never went below 150 beats per minute. And I can't remember the last time I was walking and had 150 right. beats per minute heart rate. And the second one is you read these stories about like Mount Everest where they do these like, yeah, you take 10 steps and then you take 10 breaths and then you take, and I was employing some of that, 40 steps and then I'd stop and take 10 breaths.
So we were staying in, when we were staying in Keystone, I was editing the mountain bike heat check video for nationals.
Right.
And I was recording the voiceover for it. And unlike how I'm talking to you now, I tried to get a little more excited about it to make it interesting.
Yeah.
And I had to stop. Like I had an edit point after every sentence because I would say one sentence and I would be out of breath.
Heart rate 140, just talking.
Just stop, collect myself, get the next one. I was like, man.
Make jokes, and it played out again today. So I've done this race 3 times, and it played out again today where I heard these people behind me talking, and you find yourself after day one or day two, the people in front of you and the people behind you are generally from your elevation.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, exactly. It just self-selects.
That's right. All the Coloradans are all up the trail somewhere. Right. All the Floridians are way behind us somewhere, but you know the Midwesterners are all hanging out together.
I remember doing this ride in Virginia. Mountains of Misery or something. I don't know. It's near like Virginia. Yeah. And there was this whole group from Florida that was up there for it. And like the first, you know, 5 or 10 miles are just like pancake flat.
Yeah.
And they were just gone. I mean, like, just like, you know, Roadrunner. You just all...
It's all they ride flat. They ride flat, yeah, really
and
well.
Just, and then at the first climb, they were just like, you know, it took us all 15 minutes to catch up back up with them. And they were just like in the rear view.
These are a lot harder than our drawbridges we're used to training on.
Exactly. So everybody's got their strength from where they come from.
Yeah, but we've had beautiful weather up here. Yeah. I mean, I know it rained on Sunday, but ever since then, it's, you know, mid-60s and sunny. And, you know, for all of you out there on the East Coast and the South, it's not 95 degrees here. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, and it's not humid either.
No.
There's no humidity. That's a really nice thing.
Yeah. Not too many bugs either. It's a good place.
Yeah, it's nice. It's novel. You can wake up and you have to put a jacket on in the summer. It's nice.
I wore my puffy coat over to see you tonight.
You're so Colorado.
I'm so happy to have that. So I make the joke. I say, when you move to Colorado, the welcoming squad knocks on your door and hands you your puffy coat. Yeah. Get used to it. You're going to need it at some point today. I know it's summer. You're going to need it.
Yeah. So, Scott, even though we're here and it's mountain biking season...
Yeah,
that is quickly coming to an end. Although you know, it's what I've learned more in the time that I've started to cover a lot more mountain biking is that it's just not as vocal. And I think because like road and cyclocross really come from the same tribe.
That's true.
So the tension between the end of road season and the beginning of cyclocross season, you know, is. Every year, you know, cyclocross is actually coming because all the roadies are complaining about that it starts too early and that it's conflicting with road races. And the reason road races aren't getting people is because everybody's worried about cross.
I don't know if I buy into that, but I hear what you're saying. What is it? World Championships is when road season ends, right? Isn't that what the common held belief is? Well,
supposedly, but then, you know, I think isn't like Japan Cup and that kind of stuff is after that, you know? So it just keeps going. Pretty much year round, but even locally. But my point being is that I've learned that the same thing exists between mountain biking and cyclocross too. The biggest conflict, personally, and I think for a lot of people as well, is that we have this great opportunity this year in world class mountain biking, where you have world championships in Mount St. Anne.
That's right.
Which is something we could all go to in the U.S.
100%.
Week later, we have Race and Snowshoe.
That's right.
Which we could all go to.
It's the first day of C1, C2 racing and cyclocross, right?
No.
Same weekend?
No. Mount St. Anne is. World Championship is.
Oh, okay.
Both of those are conflicts. Otherwise, GoCross.
Oh, GoCross. In
Roanoke, which is the first C2 race. 100%
right. I was thinking of the next weekend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that right. It's one of the, 33% of the C1 season will That's take place conflict. The next.
I think I told you I'm announcing a bike race during the snowshoe, and we did you know, planes, trains, and automobiles. Could I get from Alma, Michigan down to snowshoe? And the answer is I can't do both of those things. That's very upsetting because that kind of talent in America is something I'd love to see.
I mean, and I'm here with, you know, Cliff Pro Team, and that would have been one of my obligations as well to do that race in snowshoe and also probably Worlds.
So we don't even have fear of missing out at this point. It's just missing out.
Yeah, we're just missing out. Be able to watch it on TV.
I guess so.
Thank goodness for Red Bull TV.
There you go.
but the point being is that we are very, very close to cyclocross season. It is literally around the corner, 2 weeks away.
Yeah, I agree. It's coming right up, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm excited. I can't wait. It's going to be a great year.
I'm excited too.
I say that all the time, but I'm serious. It's another great year. Every year, you know, you see new faces come and old faces go, and, you know, we always watch those first couple races to see who's doing what they, you know, what kind of off season did they have? Are they firing on all cylinders? Those kind of things.
And that's why I needed you here today to talk to you. So it was good that you came out to Colorado just so we could have
this discussion.
Yeah, this in-person discussion, because I will admit recently, and if you've listened to episodes of the show, I think that I've kind of doom and gloomed cyclocross a little bit, and just the...
Is it doom and gloom, or is it more like surfacing things that need to be talked about?
I hope that's what it is.
That's the way I take it. Is. These are the things that we need to talk about.
And that's it. I mean, we don't want this to go away, but I'm going to open this... Sierra Vesa, because we are in the housing of the Cliff Pro Team that is sponsored by Sierra Nevada. So we are
You just did like a wide angle podium Gravelot podcast opening of the beer on the microphone thing.
Yeah. I'm just trying to learn from those guys. There you go.
That's true. But it's, you know, I'm glad that we're able to do this. It's great that I'm two stages into the three stage of the Breck Epic that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I love how that works. I don't want to jump back and forth, but I'm going to do it anyway. How they have, you know, you could do the whole 6 days. That's what the, and you know, this year it being a UCI stage race, which is really cool. So all of the, you know, elites and pros are doing 6 days. And then we had this whole group who came in and did days three. 1, 2, and 3.
Right. Yep.
And then your group comes in and they're doing four, five, and six.
So I've done like them both.
Three separate events.
That's right. I've done the first three and the second three. And I don't have a love affair with Mount Geo. And so I do the second three.
that makes complete sense. You're riding through snow, though.
Today we only went through one patch of snow. It's just a short
yesterday
patch.
Was the big snow day, though.
Yeah? Geo was. It was day three,
no, you missed
I think.
That.
Yeah,
so
I missed
that.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't do the wipeout section.
Yeah.
Go look at Breck Epic. You can see these people start riding down.
Yeah, they're riding. They're riding.
And they're just
avalanches.
Picking up speed.
Yeah.
And you wait. And it's one of those things at any moment now. And sure enough, down they go and slide. No, thanks. We only had one little patch of snow today. We rode around a lot of snow today, but we only rode through one patch.
So crazy.
Not so bad. I did fall down the mountain today a little bit. Got a little scraped up.
Whoa.
I got lucky. I fell in a set of bushes. Guy in front of me. You ever have that moment when you're riding right behind someone, mm-hmm. you're riding really fast, and you think for a moment, you're like, maybe I shouldn't be this close to, and that's as far as you get before you're launching off the side.
Yeah.
Up by Wheeler Pass, steep. I mean, it's steep up there. And they have these bushes. I don't know what they are. They're like waist-high, kind of scrubby bushes.
Yeah, you thought you should investigate them to see exactly what they were? Yeah,
apparently. I literally bounced, and then I started picking up speed because it's steep. And then had the wherewithal. I'm like, grab a hold of something. So I did, and I stopped. And I probably went about 30 or 40 feet down. And this guy stops and climbs halfway down to help me back up. And when I got to the top, he said, are you hurt? And I said, I think my ego needs a Band-Aid. But outside of that, I think I'm okay.
More importantly, how was the bike?
Bike was fine. It never actually moved. It hit this guy and just launched me off the section. It was bike was fine.
Yeah.
I only had a couple crashes today. They weren't too bad. I don't usually crash that much.
Today
I crashed twice.
That'd be like a couple years for me.
I don't crash that much. But today I had a couple of them.
It's only because I don't race cyclocross anymore that I don't crash on a bike anymore.
Cyclocross is that doesn't even count.
That's just part of racing.
I mean, people do get hurt, but not that much. Yeah. But yeah, I don't remember where we were going with that because I'll lead you down.
Oh no, I just that's what I did because I was thinking about snow. But what when I asked if you wanted to talk, you came up with the idea of five things. Is it five things you're looking forward
top
to?
Five top five that things that I'm looking forward to the cyclocross season about.
Okay.
They were not hard to come up with. I actually had I'm going to say that some of these have 5A, B, and C on them as well.
That's fine. I think that's how most of these things work out.
You want me to start with mine?
That's assuming I have mine.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Number one.
Number
I have
one.
Sticky notes here.
Yep.
We're going to start with number one. The title is Women's Elite.
Women's Elite. Okay. So here's my first question for you when you say Women's Elite.
This is what I was hoping would happen is I would give you just a keyword and then you would just start.
Well, this is just to clarify, are we talking about domestic or global?
I would say most of my focus is on domestic.
Good. Okay.
But there's also the global component. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good clarifying question, though. But as we're starting in the U.S., and I know that World Cup's coming really quickly, my primary focus is what's happening in America.
So what is it about, I mean, we've been following racing, men's, women's, everything for years, have loving the progression of the women's field. So what is it about this year that makes you're looking forward to?
The first two, I mean, I don't know if they're glaring, but first two glaring things is, you know, we're kind of used to not seeing Katie Compton, who is clearly the dominant force in cyclocross after the World Cups, because she goes over to Europe and does her thing, rightfully so. But then that big announcement came out from Katie Keogh saying she's doing the same thing, same program. I think she's going to be here for the two World Cups and she's gone.
Yes.
Some of the top two most dominant or promising women's elite cyclocrossers in America are vanishing from the scene mid-September.
Yeah.
And going to be sort of out of the way. And so that's when I first thought of the season. I'm like, ooh, what's going to happen this season? So it leaves, I'm not going to say a hole at the top or anything like that, because I'm not diminishing anything from anybody else out there, but that's two big names that are not going to be around. And proximity, Cliff Bar and Cliff Pro Team and Katarina Nash, sort of unknown for her season, I'd say. I don't really know where she's going to be. I know that the Epic Rides are going on and things like that, and there's sort of a mixed focus there. So, you know, you take those three names and you set those aside and you start to look at, you know, who's next, what's next, and you don't have to look that far. And that's what makes me excited about this year when I think of the women's elites. Ellen Noble, clearly all in cyclocross, right? Mm-hmm. And clearly training for it. She's coming off some big training blocks in the last week or two. And I'm sure she's looking to come out really well in the first few races.
Yeah, I think that, you know, she had a abbreviated mountain bike season.
Yeah, yeah, I did, you know, some mixed success there. I think she's said that, right?
And I think right now, yeah, truly focused, and especially not traveling to this last block of World Cup mountain bike races sort of gave her the opportunity, right, unlike what it did last year, where she was sort of had this dual purpose where, you know, right, wanting to do well in the mountain bike races and committed to that. And at the same time, you know, just out of the corner of her eye saying, ooh, cyclocross is right around the corner. It's a different kind of training, different, you know,
right,
different things have to happen to get ready for that. So without the mountain biking component in there, yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how she comes out at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and I love watching her race. There are no slow starts with Noble, and so it's really fun to watch her race, a dynamic racer. But it does beg the question. I mean, you look down at some of the standings. You got Faringer, Gilbert, Anthony, McFadden, all right there every weekend, right? Hansinger, I don't know what her season looks like. I don't know if you have any information on Hansinger.
No, I don't, but there is one glaring omission from your list.
Oh, go for it. What is it?
You're looking south, where you need to be looking north.
Mm. Well, I mean, there's Magalie Rochette. I'm sure that's what you were talking about, right? Yeah. I mean, she's obviously going to be the one to beat right off the bat.
Well, that's,
and I think that's cool, because when's the last time we saw like a Noble Rochette battle? I know. You and I were sitting there watching it, but...
Well, I think that what we're looking at is a repeat, possibly, of what we saw last year in Rochester starting off the season.
Yeah.
You know, it was something, you know, we've talked about it a lot, especially for Mag Lee, where Rochester, you know, for a couple of years was kind of her defining moment, and then kind of the bane of her existence. You know, people don't remember, a few years back, it was a extremely hot weekend, and she got heat stroke and had to be taken to the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a really, really scary time, and I think it has affected her in that she really can't race in that heat anymore.
Yeah.
And it has sort of changed the way that she approaches the season. But then last year came back, you know, and swept the weekend over Noble both days, and just really came out of the blocks looking dominant. And it'll be really interesting to see. You know, now she's got this specialized feedback team that she's put together.
Oh, right.
You know, I mean, you talk about and again, I said it was an omission, but I it actually may not be, because I think she's going to be following that same schedule.
It'll be interesting to see, right?
Because they're talking, the way that feedback at least is announcing, is that they are supporting a World Cup athlete, which would lead me to believe it's beyond the first two World Cups, and that she's going to be in Europe racing those other races.
It'll be interesting to see. You may correct me if I'm wrong. I just think in the last week or two, Megley put out an article where she said, you know, Europe did not work well with her last year.
So maybe not. Yeah, I guess I was confused by that feedback.
Well, that was just last year. I mean, this year's a different year, right? But I wonder if she's going to change her approach to that. If she's got to go to Europe, well, then she's going to have to figure that out. That'll be interesting to see. But I have such conflict, even when we started about this, when you talk about the cyclocross racing, because I'm such a fan, I'll say it. I hate losing our athletes over to Europe. But I understand it at the same time. But when I'm watching, and I love to watch the, you know, racing in America, it's you know, it's not upsetting. I don't know the right word for it. But
I'm mixed emotions about it. I think that, and I think most people do, and it's okay. And it's kind of what I was talking with Powers about a little last episode. Yeah. And it's what is the best opportunity, especially for our up and coming talent, you know, yeah. the younger racers, the ones who are U23s. Is it coming out and basically beating up on right. on the elite field in the US?
Right.
Or is it going to Europe and, you know, figuring out how to progress in the best races in the world?
Yeah. There's no easy answer to that question. Yeah, obviously, you guys talked about
it. Well, yeah, no, but you're right. And it's, I know I also like to hear your view on that, because I really think that it is something, especially, you know, you are married to a promoter of one of the biggest races in the country. And I also am involved in promoting right. a UCI race, and right. we sort of count on those people being right. being at our events. So yeah. it does hurt in that manner, and that's a draw for all of the grassroots cyclocross racers
yeah.
that they want to go to those that's events right. because it's fun. It's fun being it's able to race fans, in the right? morning and then to go and see, you know, how Stephen Hyde evidently rode a completely different course than you rode earlier in the day, because none of the lines that he's taking were the ones that I was taking, and he's doing them all much faster. How could I have gotten that completely wrong?
It's 100% correct. And when you're, you know, when you're sort of building a fan base, it's hard when the riders that you want to see aren't there. And again, not no fault to them yeah. or anything like
no,
that.
No, no, no. That's what I'm saying.
There's no right answer.
Right.
But if you want to see, you know, if you're a Katie Keough fan and you want to watch her race this year, yeah. it's going to be on TV.
Yeah, and that's exactly the point. And I think that's what Katie would say as well is that, you know, she's put a lot of time in
yeah.
racing in the US.
No doubt.
And I think that she has shown that she can compete, you know, has been on several podiums.
Yeah.
Chances to win World Cups and yeah. you know, in Europe. Yeah. Always think back to that Valkenburg race.
Yeah.
Where she did awesome. So yeah, I think it's awesome. I'm 100% behind
just,
that.
It's a selfish thing. I will yeah. It has nothing to do with anything else. And I want to see the people that, you know, the people that I'm watching and stuff like that. I think it's
so. Of your list, you know, and yeah. just sticking with the women's elite here, who do you got earmarked? Who do you think may have a breakout season, or who are you excited just to see how they progressed over last year, or maybe different situation?
Yeah, that's sort of mixed. So I expect Ellen Noble to come in, you know, firing on all cylinders. Megley Rochette as well, because those are the two that on social media have talked the most about what their recent preparations are. Faringer is always out there training and things like that. And, she, you know, this is her primary living that she does. So she's got to go in every race. And if you watched anything last year, you'd know she had a really great year last year. She finished, you know, from a standings, third overall in the country. So if she's still on that upswing, then she's going to be standing on that podium a lot, I think, this year. And I'm really interested to see that. Gilbert obviously went out on a high note, medaling at the yeah, Nationals.
So that silver medal was a great race.
Just moved to Colorado, so she should have better blood. I don't know.
Exactly. That's right? Exactly right.
But when you say breakout, things like that, I hope that, and I don't know what her plans is, but Hansinger is obviously a future superstar, if not a current superstar. And so if she goes in and races in the elites like she usually does, and races a lot, then I think we're going to see her on a lot of top steps of the podium.
Yeah, I think that between Hansinger, you know, we saw a little bit of it, especially, you know, I look back at Ruts and Guts last year, where Hansinger and Katie Klaus, you know, were two of these young guns on that women's elite side who were battling yeah. each other at the front. And I think that's that may be a budding rivalry that, yeah. that we're going to see hopefully for years to come between those two, because they definitely are two of the best that we have up and coming, if not already for the women's elite field in the U.S.
Right. And then I wrote in my notes, when you talk about up and coming, I wrote one name down. It was a name that I had was not on my radar. You and I sitting at national championships, we were sitting there, and Pete Weber came by and he said, "I got a name for you, Maddie Monroe." Just remember that name. And I remember the time I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah," and he was right. I mean, she is she's a superstar. So her racing age is 18 years old. She's out of Boulder, Colorado. Do you remember? Did she win a mountain bike race this year?
She was up there at Nationals. I it's all a blur now, but I know that I heard her name.
And maybe even won. Somebody's going to be upset. Yep. She may have even gone over to Europe this year and raced mountain bikes and finished very well.
I think she did go to one of the...
Could have won something. I don't know. She did really well. Yeah. But either way, it just wasn't a name that was on my radar. Her full name's Madigan Monroe, but I think she goes by Maddie Monroe. And he said, watch out for her. And he was right. I'm like, this is a young superstar. I know she races mountain bikes. I'm assuming she's going to do full cross season this year. And if she shows up in the U23s and or in the elites, it's going to be amazing. And I'm excited to watch it. I love those young talents that come out seemingly out of nowhere, which I'm sure she's not. But so eyes are on her to see what she does this year.
Yeah, other names, you know, not necessarily juniors coming up, and names that we saw last year that I think had breakout years for us in the cyclocross world, who I think may have had, you know, success in other disciplines. Sarah Sturm is one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who's just...
And what a fabulous person.
Oh, yeah. And just and just up for anything. I mean, you know, Belgian Waffle Ride.
Yeah, did she win that, right?
Yeah, she got second in Leadville.
Yeah, right.
And hopefully she'll continue. She loved, I know, just, you know, just talking to her, just loved racing cyclocross. And it was so funny because she was on the podium in Rochester, and I think that was the first UCI race she did. Didn't know anything about the rules, didn't know anything how it worked, just went out there and just pedaled her bike and just was crushing people. So it's gonna hopefully she'll be back.
She's our single speed national champion, I think. Sarah Sturm is, right?
Yeah. You know, started as a mountain biker. It's probably still is, but yeah, right. just amazing. Along those same lines, I think Raylan Nuss, you know, was a name I hadn't seen before.
I was looking, and she was like next on my list. Yeah. Raylan Nuss is somebody that's sort of up and coming.
So it would be really good to see sort of her second year in the spotlight that, you know, we're talking about her a lot. Another name, another Canadian, Jen Jackson, when she shows up in races. Whew.
The before Pan Ams last year, did some research on her, and there were so many things that I didn't know. Like, she's one of these crossover athletes from cross-country skiing and is like a multi-time national champion or something in that discipline. Yeah. And then you're like, okay, so she comes over and crushes. But I think she's had a fairly decent mountain bike season this year right?
Yeah, she's up there as well. Talking about crossover athletes, another one who, you know, we first started talking about last year, who came and she was, I think the where we first met her was she came up to us thinking we were UCI officials, which of course we weren't. That was of course, if she had been anywhere in the cyclocross world, she would know the enormous mistake she was making.
Did we make some stuff up?
Pointed her in the right direction. Actually, I think we gave her the answer, and then we're like, we should probably confirm this. But she showed up at Nationals, and it was that cold and rainy day, and she had on a thermal skin suit. It was Ellen Noble's old Rafa, and she was, it was, you know, so it was a sponsored UCI team. And she correctly so wanted to know if she was able to wear that during the race, even though that wasn't her team,
right?
Which she was, but she's a triathlete.
Who are we talking about again?
Cassie Hickey.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I never gave the name.
I remembered everything.
I never gave you the game. Thank you. We're going to go through all this, and I'm never going to say the name.
But
I'm
going to
blame it on the altitude. Yo, Cassie Hickey is another name I think we heard for the first time last year in cyclocross. Obviously, she's extremely successful try. So hopefully she'll be out there. I know she went to like cross camp up in Montana.
Yeah, right.
So
that's right.
So hopefully she'll be out there racing, and I think she'll have a big season.
That's awesome. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
Should we move Sammy on? Runnels. I'm just going to throw it out there. She did really well at collegiate road.
I mean, again, do we call it a crossover? I mean, she's in Europe. Isn't she in Europe or going to Europe now? I mean, I know they were just had some, I just was flipping through Instagram. Saw USA Cycling, some team announcement she's on, I believe. I don't know for what.
Nice. Well, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Having a good road season as well.
Yeah, right. She's fast. So that's my number one, women's elites. That's why I'm excited. Pulling off the post-it note. Ready to go to number two?
Let's go to number two.
Are you ready for this?
Always.
It ends with a question mark, so this is not a statement.
Okay.
The year of Curtis White.
Love it.
Right?
Love it.
Dude's been on fire, fully in on cyclocross training. I believe this is his first year where he's not balancing college.
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
So full-time athlete, full-time in on cyclocross. And we know that he's very fast. So if you take some of those things out that, you know, occupy your time, like studying for exams in, oh, I'm going to botch his major, classical studies. I think that's it.
Well done.
Well, it's Julie's major as well. Julie's dad calls that. Nope, I'm not. Well, Julie's dad said that major is, would you like fries with that? Which is not true. It's like they're the smartest people in college, classical studies. So I talked to him a little bit. I'm like, dude, those are some really hard classes. He's like, I know. Tell me about it. They're really difficult. But classical studies, I think that's what it is. But he doesn't have that this year. So I'm going to leave that as a question. The year of Curtis White. What do you think?
I think that is a great question. And, you know, we look at... You look at the lineage of the top tier of men's cyclocross going back to Tim Johnson and that whole crew, Jonathan Page, and then kind of a step down, you know, generational wise, you had Powers in there, who was always frustrated so many years, not winning a national championship, always kind of second banana on that Cannondale team until like going out on his own, then breaking through, four national championships, just dominant rider in the U.S. for a while. And then who pushes him out? Stephen Hyde.
That's right.
You know, and Stephen Hyde comes in here, is absolutely the most dominant male cyclocross racer in the past, you could argue, definitely 2 years, you know, through injuries and everything else. So it was definitely some time in there where other people were winning races, but it's because he just wasn't in them and came back, worked his way back into it. And again, won nationals, was at the top of his game. But the guy that was pushing him, especially late in the season, and looked just like the strongest. And when Steven wasn't there, and that's why this is a great question, because we didn't have that comparison last season.
That's true.
Because Hyde was out for a lot of it. Yeah. But the most dominant racer without him there is, is your question mark. It's Curtis White.
I mean, if genetics have any piece of it, the White family... what did we have? Three active racers in the White family, right?
Yep.
Harrison.
Yep. Two cyclocross racers and one track racer.
Track racer who's now a national champion pro. But yeah, so he's got.
That would be Emma for those.
That's
who
right.
Don't know.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yes, that would be Emma. Who I at the Pro Roads this year. I put the microphone down after interviewing her on the finish line, and I said, can we knock this off now? When are you coming back to cross? And she just smiled, and she's like, no time soon. I'm sorry.
Well,
and I'm like, all right, Olympics. It's our loss. So, again, selfish.
Yeah. See, your follow-up question should have been, if cyclocross were an Olympic sport, would you have ever left?
That's the biggest can ever. But yes. So under my sub-bullet points under that are what I'm excited about is an uninjured list. And the top two that came to my mind were Drew Dillman, who, don't forget, crashed at Trek while sitting on Lars Vanderhaar's wheel. So no slouch there. And so he broke his hand for 6 weeks. He was out for 6, 7, 8 weeks, something like that. So an uninjured Drew Dillman.
And just the my favorite part of that, it was awful that he got hurt, and that's not my favorite part. He's coming off, and he's upset about crashing out, and he's like, well, asking about the race, and he's like, and somebody's like, oh, Hyde crashed out too. He's like, we're the top two Americans.
He knew exactly what was going on.
He knew exactly where it was. I was just like, Drew. And he says, he's very sort of says with a smirk on his face. But but still, I think he also has that confidence in his ability. Yep. And I don't think I'm glad that he was in a place in his life where he decided that he could come back and race and commit to it. And stoked that Amanda Nauman and her team were able to help him out with that. So I think it's gonna be really fun. He's definitely gonna add to the mix this year.
I think so. My top two uninjured.
Yeah.
Tobin.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that guy, he's a next level talent. He's clearly riding strong. He's here in Breck, right?
He is riding. He is
the 6 day.
He's fighting it out every day. He's right up there in the top 20 of that, and he's just an interloper. right. with these with these mountain bikers, and he's holding his own, especially at altitude. The one downside of him being here is that, and rightfully so, and I think that one of the things we want from him is to kind of figure out his schedule so he doesn't burn out, and he is you know, racing the whole season. He's not going to be racing in Roanoke because he's doing this, so he's taking that time to recover, and then he'll be in Rochester.
That's good. I mean, he's one of those talents, right? He's going to hit the podium really good. And then I'm going to...
He's going to be hungry, too.
He's going to be hungry.
He's just... I think he's ready to get back at it. It's going to be good.
Well, he's burning like 4,000 calories a day.
Yeah, right?
I mean, now he's going to be hungry?
Everybody's hungry here.
The last name I've got, Brandon Fix.
Oh, man. Good pick.
Right?
Yeah.
He's going up into the elites. I think he's not
U23
anymore. He's
24.
24. Yeah, I thought so. And so Brandon Fix coming into the elites is going to be pretty amazing to see. I'm excited about that.
Yeah. I mean, and you got to see it at your home race, kind of his breakout performance there in Cincinnati, just really hanging with the best in the country.
Right.
And I think that was a big confidence boost. And I think he's going to bring it into this year.
Yep. You know, he's lived in the shadows for a while.
Yeah.
Now that his teammate that's
basically
the shadow.
That's, you know, I actually got the opportunity to spend a little time with that team before coming to Breck, and
on your other part of your Colorado job.
That was my other stint of my Colorado trip was working a little bit with the Alpha team, just doing some media for them. They got a fun team. It's Brannon, you know, so Gage and Katie Klaus no longer on that team. So it's Brannon and Turner Ramsey and Lauren Zerner, and then they picked up Ross Elwood.
Yep. There you go. Right.
Yeah. So it's fun.
Be
squad.
Good team. Yeah. Right.
And it's pretty much Brandon's team right now.
I think it's good. So I'm excited to see him. I wrote Fix on my post-it note. That's post-it note number two.
Yeah. Let's go to number three.
Number three.
I like this. We're 40 minutes in. You were like, come up with your top five. I'm like, I'm not going to have to.
This one, and you remember, the topic of this is top five things I'm looking forward to this year, because you can take this a different way.
I think that I'm just, the one thing, I don't know if you actually learn this in law school, but the one thing that everybody seems to be able to do is read upside down once you get out of law school, because you're always sitting over
don't
here doing things.
Don't read my post-it notes.
Yeah, so,
are you reading
so
my post-it notes?
I just a little tint. And all I'm saying is that it may be
the... I want your gut reaction to these.
It may be the one thing. Let's hear it.
All right, this is something I'm actually looking forward to this year. Mm-hmm. My post-it note says less. I'll summarize this way. Less UCI overlap on the calendar, seemingly, is what I wrote on there. And I'm excited about that this year.
I am too.
You've talked about it a lot on your podcast. I think the old adage was all the sprinter vans going in one direction, things like that. And it's been 5 years of, in my head, and it's debatable, but this is in my head, it's of insanity of trying to figure out who's going where, why they're going there, what their intentions are. And it's a mix of the term that I hate, chasing points, and trying to figure out who's going to what race. Cause if Compton's going to this race, well, I know I'm not winning, so I'm going to this other race. And when I look down the calendar of events, there are some overlaps, but there's not that many. Feels like a lot less than in the past.
There, not too long ago, we had a few weekends with three UCI races on the same weekend.
Do you remember what they were? I don't remember what they were. I
want to say Major Taylor was.
Oh yeah. Cause that was in Indy. And there was always one on the East Coast the same weekend. And then maybe like Sacramento or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Because I thought it was almost us. And it was when there was that other Ohio race.
Oh, yeah. Races by the lake.
Yeah. But that was just the two of us. But I felt like right around there, they had lumped them. And they weren't too far. But it was just, it just seemed
crazy. It was insanity from a, goes back to what we say before. If you want to go watch, much less race, you want to go watch, you just don't even know where to go because they're all over the place.
That and when you were diplomatic in my how I was couching the season in the last couple episodes and trying to find some silver linings, I think that I have to agree with you in that I am looking forward to it. It is kind of an unknown season with less races. I think what that also does is that each race is going to mean more. You know, I think that we're going to get some really hot competitive races. I think it's still front loaded.
Yeah,
I still think once you get past Pan Ams, everything kind of slows down a little bit. I think there's going to be a big push to go to Arkansas, and I know that comes up against Gloucester, so it probably won't be as many New England people, but I think that there will still be a push to go there because everybody's going to be curious and wants to get as much time in that city and on that course with Worlds coming up in a few years.
Oh, yeah. Gloucester is the same weekend as Fayette Cross, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It is front-loaded. But at the same time, like I said, it seems seemingly so. There's a lot less overlap.
And if you look at it, and if we go back to when cyclocross really truly wasn't that long of a season in the U.S., starting with GoCross and going from GoCross to Rochester to Jingle to Iowa to Charm.
You're doing really well.
DCCX.
How do you remember all these things?
Cincy.
Well, that's the most important one. Let's just
and then Pan Ams. That's like 8 or 9 weeks.
It's not that long. You're right.
That's a great season right there.
It is true.
I love all those other races that come right after that. But that's, you know, you get to that point. That is a pretty strong run that I think that we can get a lot of people going to all of those events.
I think you're right. And November's, you know, I'm looking at it pretty stacked, at least what I pulled off the UCI calendar. Really rad festival. That's the weekend before Pan Ams. It looks like Northampton International might be the same weekend as Pan Ams.
Yeah, I think that happened last year. Really unfortunate. Year too, but yeah. Well, it hasn't happened, but it was, I think, on the same as Canadian Nationals.
Oh, that's right.
And this year with it on Pan Am, so, that's, you know, right, where it hits home the hardest is at Northampton's Adam Meyerson's,
that's right,
race. He's a reigning Pan Am champ, right, that he can't go back and defend that.
That's right. And then Major Taylor Supercross is the same day. We still have North Carolina Grand Prix. I always think that that's the smartest move ever, to put that like late November, because you're moving south and it's not as cold.
Sure.
But seemingly.
What happened last year?
It's like a foot of snow or something.
Yeah, Ruts and Guts was beautiful. And North Carolina got, it did get snowed out, I think, the second day.
Yeah, it was like a foot of snow.
Well, they were cross-country skiing on the course.
And then Ruts and Guts, working us into December, right? Resolution Cross Cup, so you're moving further south. NBX is still on the counter, so I'm assuming that's all good. Mm-hmm. Woodwick, yep. And then we go right into national championships where we fly across the country.
Yeah, and I think somebody mentioned it too, the thing with Tacoma logistically makes it, that's even more of a challenge for, I think Resolution is that last race before
December
Nationals.
8th, yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if it's a tough one for bigger teams. It's fine if you're an individual and you can just fly with a bike, but if you have to drive from, you know,
it's doable.
Dallas to Tacoma,
3 or 4 days to get over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little coffee, good to go. So, anything else on that?
No, I'm glad you brought it up, because I think that was one of the things that I've really struggled with to make figure out, and you're covering
I'm
it up.
I'm holding my hand over the
to figure out what's going on, and I think that we have something. And just to if you all have listened to the Grodio show, which hopefully you have, Amanda Nauman, who's now, I'm going to say it. I'm forcing her into
say
this.
It.
She's going to be a co-host of that show.
I love
we're,
that.
We're doing it. I'm pressuring her into that now.
Perfect. Yeah. I can't think of a better person.
She
for that
was
show.
Disparaging me without me being able to defend myself. So I'm just going to do the same thing here about how nobody's, you know, there's going to be no way where everybody's going to get together and figure out where they're going to race. I will argue that for these first 9 weeks, they don't have a choice.
No, yeah,
all the
I think
top
you're
racers
right.
will be in the same place.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
Very after that, Amanda, you may be right. But up until that point, they're all going to the same place.
They all go to the same place.
All right, what do we got next?
Number four. Let's see. How do I want to phrase this to you? Thing that I'm looking forward to. I'm going to read it.
Yes.
It's two-part, but I'm going to read the first part. Western States Nationals.
Okay.
How often does the Nationals go out west? How long has it been?
Reno?
Okay. How long before that? That was a totally valid point. I mean, way out there. I'm thinking back, you know, like Bend.
We're at Colorado.
Yeah, that's
true. That doesn't really count.
That,
I mean,
that's why I'm looking forward to it. That, yeah. I guess that's my point.
I mean, just like true, like Pacific Northwest. Like
way out there, right?
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
I never went to Bend. Did you go?
I never went there. But in my growth in cyclocross, those were like storied events that were amazing and I always wanted to go to.
I will tell you that to this day, the how I've been trying to grow the whole cyclocross TV idea and how you didn't need $50,000 and 10 cameras to cover cyclocross is all based on Colt McElwain covering Bend, where you could basically see the whole race and he had one camera.
Is that right?
And he was doing the commentary live, standing in the mud, basically in the middle of the course, and there was like one dude with a camera who was filming most of it, and it was the most compelling race coverage I had seen. You know, obviously there are better productions. If it was Red Bull, we'd love it, but it was, I wasn't going away. I wasn't complaining about the live stream. I was like riveted, and it was just so low tech that I was like, that just like opens so many doors and makes it doable. Yeah. So
I'm excited that the western side of the United States gets to host cyclocross national championships. Yeah. I think that's good. I mean,
it's going to bring in a lot of different people that we don't
see a lot. People that don't get that exposure, and good for them.
Yeah.
We can't always have it on the eastern side of the country. And you know, USA Cycling is going to make it up to us all next year. Right, because they're going to bring it to Chicago,
which is middle of the country.
You can't get any more central. Really,
you can't get any more central. You got one of the biggest airports in the world right there for everybody to fly into. Yeah.
So I've heard some people complain like it's all the way out there. I'm like, I get it, but we can't have it all the same way. And to your point, it's going to get a different flavor, a different crowd. You'll get a lot of the same elites out there, and it's something that we don't
get to
see.
And it's not like when it was that Boulder where you had distance and elevation.
True. That's exactly right.
So it's level playing field for everyone. It's just getting out there and doing. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a ton of fun. As I said, it's, you know, one of the things about doing events, especially doing these mountain bike events, is you get to go to these places that you don't usually get to. And I would encourage people to
Take a trip.
Weekend
out of it.
I'll tell you what. You don't have to race.
No, that's exactly
You will
right.
have the most fun going to a national championship event. And I say this with a tinge of bias, but with seeing and working at national championships of pretty much every discipline, nothing touches cyclocross. Nothing even comes close.
I will not disparage. I have not worked mountain bike national championships, but I've worked all the other ones.
I love mountain bike national
championships. People come up to me and say, just doesn't have the same thing. Cyclocross is awesome. I'm like, well, it goes back to that thing. We're in a park.
Yeah.
There's beers, probably adult beverages, and there's drink and food.
It's not even that. It's just the nature of the racing allows for the spectators to be engaged.
I agree 100%.
Mountain bike this year, if everything could be like the short track.
Yeah, right.
That reminded
me. Really just cyclocross,
like
Heather,
my wife was out there and she was like, this is like cyclocross.
That's right.
And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty much identical. They're just on fatter tires and flat bars.
That's
but
right.
It is a cyclocross race. And the great thing, not going off a tangent, but the thing that I wish other sports could look at for short track, and I think why they brought it in at the highest level for the World Cups, it's fun, it's exciting, it's dynamic, and most importantly, it's 25 minutes long.
That's right.
And it
captures
done.
Our attention span.
It's done. It's 20 minutes and three laps, and you are done.
I will be the first to admit that, clearly I race mountain bikes and have for years. That I don't think I've ever watched a mountain bike World Cup, partially because they weren't on Red Bull Broad and Brown, but the short track hooked me, and it led into me watching the full XC stuff on Sundays as well.
Yeah. And you get
I'm like, oh, it was that good. I'm going to watch the rest of it.
And you get to know the racers. And I think for all of us cyclocross fans, you know, it's another thing that Matthew Vanderpool, they can't write him a check big enough. Because I think he brought a lot of people like you.
I think you're right.
Into the sport. Yep. And then they finally were like, hey, this is kind of cool.
That's right.
I came here for the cyclocross guy. I'm staying for the mountain bikers.
That's right. It's good racing out there. My sub piece under that Western States National was I wrote, how about those two World Cup rounds, USA, Great Crossing? We have two World Cups in America, back to back, within, I don't know how long of a drive it is, 3 hours, 4 hours?
Yeah, it's like that.
Something like
traffic's
that.
Traffic's not bad.
Pretty good. And then, you know, getting the announcement that World Champs is coming back as well.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty pumped about the cyclocross scene.
I have a feeling, and this is without any knowledge, this is just a guess, that Fayetteville, this is not a one-off for them.
Yeah, I mean,
they want
to
do big
things down there, right?
Yeah, and they have the Oz Cross. I'll bet that they are going. I mean, if you have a world championship, there's I figure you probably have the infrastructure and venue to have a national championship.
Right.
You know, who knows? I mean, the UCI is hell-bent on having 20 World Cup cyclocross races.
Right.
I think it would be easy expansion. Again, I don't know. It may go other
makes
places
sense.
In the country, but I think that having it there or anywhere else, I mean, you talk about these two World Cups. If there was a third World Cup, I think you would get even more Europeans over here, because the more you add,
right,
the more it makes the trip worth
right.
it.
You can miss one. Maybe you can miss two.
Yeah.
But, three.
But even that, they can justify. They all talk about the cost, and we all
sure.
scoff at it because we're like, we have to pay for every time we go over there multiple times. But it definitely diminishes the cost if you're here for three events.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Part of my fear, Scott,
uh-oh,
is, and I've said this before, and it started with Louisville Worlds.
Yeah.
There was no way you were missing that.
That's true.
Absolutely no way you were missing. If you liked cyclocross, not even loved it, if you liked cyclocross and you knew that the world championships were going to be in the U.S., you were going.
That's true.
And then we got the World Cups. I'm going. This may never happen again.
Right?
Cross Vegas, I'm going. This
right.
may never happen again.
That's true.
Wisconsin, I'm going. Wisconsin and Iowa that year was like, holy cow, and the crowds were huge.
Right.
My fear then became, well, this is an annual thing.
Yeah.
That I need to go because this may never happen again is no longer the case. So,
I don't know. Our sport's still small. I still feel like every year could be the final year.
Yes, but there are so many people now who have gone. They've sort of checked that box.
That's true.
That's kind of, so I think that each year it goes down a little, especially, I mean, the other problem, not problem, again, I don't want to be negative with this because I love these events, but the other thing that I see with it is, like, you know, we talk about Nationals going to Chicago and how exciting it is because it has such a huge cyclocross scene. They sort of determine where most of the spectators for those two World Cups are going to go, right? They get to choose. We're going to go to Waterloo this year. We're going to go to Jingle. Maybe some will go to both. But they're sort of that hub
sort
of people
hub
who can
there,
drive to those races.
That's true.
So, I don't know.
It'll be interesting.
Everybody go to the World Cups.
Well, yeah, World Cups, and then, you know, with World Championships. It's
I am going to be completely biased here. I was like, if you have to choose one, everybody go to Trek because it's a wide-angle podium sponsored event.
I, you know, truth be told, I've never been to Jingle. So I can't speak to that event at all. But Trek, it just grows every year because, you know, some of it's word of mouth, but every time you talk to somebody and you're like, if you at all, it doesn't even matter if you're just a cyclocross fan. If you are a cycling fan, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
That's kind of it. You have one of the biggest bike manufacturers in the world right there.
Right.
You get to walk through their headquarters if you want. Anybody who works there will be more than happy to give you a tour and show
you
around.
Hey, if you ever want to know what Interbike was like, this is it now. This is what we have. I'm like, you go there and all those different retailers are there and they're giving things away and they're selling things. It's amazing.
Yeah. And the other thing to draw you to, well, Waterloo, specifically, is if you're sitting here thinking, gosh, I really like listening to that Scott Herman. I could listen to that guy talk from
said nobody
Friday ever. To Sunday straight through. You can
ever.
Do it at Trek.
But I think I'll maybe be there Thursday night for the somebody made fun of me. They're like, are you announcing the course inspection? I'm like, hey, we're just having a great time here. So yeah, we'll be up there at Trek. And again, for cyclocross fans, Wide Angle Podium, when you say Wide Angle Podium is going to be there, what do you mean by that?
We are an official sponsor. We are the first podcast network ever to sponsor a World Cup cyclocross event. I understand you at home may be saying, you're really splitting some hairs there with that first time ever, but I don't care.
So are you guys going to have, like, are there going to be a bunch of you on site?
We will have hosts from most of the shows there. We'll have tent space.
Really?
We'll have a little area that we will be able to record in.
So you're going to be doing podcasts right on site?
Yeah, podcasts right on site.
That's so cool.
We're going to be jointly heckling the announcers.
Ah, oh, jeez. I need to make a phone call and be like, hey, you know that tent, could you put that like really far away, please?
I want to be right across from you.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, so that'll be fun. I don't even know how we got on that topic.
Hey there, cyclocross friends, I just want to jump into the middle of this episode really quickly. But before we do that, I want to tell you about CX is Boss, sponsor of the show, friends of ours. They have some great deals for you if you use the code RADIO, R-A-D-I-O, RADIO, at checkout, cxisboss.com. And here's what that will get you. It will get you 10% off of all tires, plus a set of free bar tape. So use radio at checkout at cxisboss.com. You get 10% off of all tires. You get free bar tape. You're saying right now, Bill, I can get tires anywhere. And I'm telling you, you can't get these tires. They have a variety in stock, including the national championships winning Vittoria Wet and Mix and FMB. This is one of the only places in the U.S. with these tires on hand. For FMB, you got the Super Mud, which is often the top of the list for best mud tire maze. All FMB tires, handmade, cotton sidewalls, treated with latex to protect them. That's huge, especially if you race in wet conditions. Latex tubes for suppleness. You get the Pro Sidewall. That has additional thick latex sidewall for further water resistance and abrasion. So you just get, you know, basic, you're getting all of that protection. You go to the Pro, you're getting even more. So go for the Pro. You get that 10% off. So it sort of makes up for it right there. Limited number of new Silka all-weather green tread on hand as well at CX's Boss. CX'sBoss.com. Use the code RADIO. All right, let's get back to the episode. More with Scott Herman.
All right, yeah. Are we ready for the final post-it note? How are we doing on time?
We're doing it. 4 more minutes, we're done.
It's going to be a joke because it's something that I know nothing about. Winter is coming. Isn't that like a... What is that? Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones.
See, I'm a failure when it comes to these things. Are you a Game of Thrones guy?
I did watch Game of Thrones.
Did you really?
Actually, we were talking about it at dinner today, and half the people in the room were like, I don't know what the heck you're talking about.
It's not that I don't want to watch it. I think whatever pay services I have don't cover... Is it like HBO or something? I don't even know.
Yeah. The story that I was telling about Game of Thrones today is that one of the main characters who everyone loved from season 1 through 7, and then in the final season sort of had this heel turn, and it's a wrestling term, professional wrestling term, good guy to bad guy.
Heel turn. Okay.
And that name really didn't have the same sort of positive feelings that it did for the first. My wife Heather, who's a veterinarian, saw all of these cats and some dogs who had been named in the last 7 years after this character, and I was just wondering if now they were regretting that name choice.
Oh geez, what was the name?
I don't know. I was doing all this without spoilers. I was trying to be a good podcast. Khaleesi.
Yeah, sad.
Khaleesi.
Like,
yeah.
Right over my head.
Yeah, lots of cats named Khaleesi out there.
Oh.
And cats are kind of evil, so I mean, maybe it works.
They're their own special thing, aren't
they? They certainly are.
Yeah, so winter's coming. What I really meant by that was,
yes.
Thank God, it's been a long, hot summer. I'm going to say most, I don't know where your listener base
Scott,
is.
I mean, the snow has just melted out here in Colorado. These people are saying how long the winter was.
If you live above 9,000 feet, then stop listening. But below that, most of America, it's been hot and hazy and humid. Yeah. and rainy, at least on the eastern. Well, not even on Eastern. My friends in Salt Lake, they're like, they've had more rain this year than ever. And it's, you know, when you get that first taste of cool weather and it's like, oh, Cross is in the air.
I'm not buying into that.
No?
No.
You don't get that in D.C.?
Well, I'm just thinking that, you know, we start the season in 2 weeks.
I know.
And I don't want to,
you know, jinx
somehow. No, I just don't want to. I am just going to continue my fight that true Cross weather is the weather that you race Cross in. And if it's 90 and humid down there, so be it. We're still going to be racing cyclocross.
I'm with you.
I will still be happy when it's cooler. Yeah,
there's
Scott.
Something to be said when you're lining up and it's 45 degrees and, you know, there's a light mist in the air and there's leaves on the ground or something. There's just something to be said.
I do think it's crossy. I don't know how it works for Ohio Valley stuff, but for at least where we are in the Mid-Atlantic, the thing that when people first get into cyclocross and they get really gung-ho about it and they join a team and they are ordering their clothing for the year, the rookie mistake is always buying that thermal skin suit.
Oh yeah,
that then just sits in
I did that once.
Nobody ever wears them.
Nope, because you get to, you know, it's October,
if you
November,
were like
December.
You know, racing in the Czech Republic where it's right. 2 feet of snow and ice and your fingers are going to fall off, then you need
Or if your last name's Venenham, maybe you'll need one, or Rochette.
Right? Yeah. Or I guess going back to those, what was it? Was it the USGP, like the last year of the USGP in Bend where everybody was getting frostbite?
Yeah. Can't feel their fingers. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we see that, but you're right. I gave that up a while ago.
I guess my point being, we predominantly race in moderate weather. Really nice fall weather. That's kind of the appeal of the sport. That's why you can bring your family out there.
What about fall is coming?
Is coming. I think that's catchy.
All right. I came with winter's coming because I thought it'd be funny with the thing that I don't know anything about.
Yeah. That was it. That was a good joke for 2015.
Is that an old joke? Is that how old Game of Thrones is?
Yeah, it was like 8 years.
Seriously?
Yeah.
No idea. It's not that I don't like it. I'm just a loser when it comes to these things. I have a limited amount of things that I can listen to. And that's why we talk podcasts. It's great because, you know, I'm in my car and got to go to work. So podcasts work for me. That was my last sticky.
I like, because you're a guy who I always admire how prepared you are for events. And I said, hey, Scott, I think it was a day ago or 2 days ago. Let's chat. And you were like, awesome, let's do it. And then I think possibly while you were racing today, you texted me about
it was right after. I was sitting at the finish line today waiting on my buddy.
Yeah, you're like, hey, let's do five things.
Hey.
And
I had 5 hours today on a bike.
And you were
to
prepared.
Think about
and you
it.
Came up with it. I came up with one and it was like your third one.
Oh,
so,
well, that was what I was going to say now is that we need to get your one.
No, we're at an hour.
Oh, all right.
We're done. My whole thing was like, as much as I have been hand-wringing over the season, I am actually looking forward to it.
It's going
to
be awesome.
And I think it's going to be fun.
I'm pretty excited. Can we recap where you're going to be this year for maybe the first few races or something?
I'm leaving here. Okay. I will spend next weekend in Washington, D.C.
Gotcha.
One of the few weekends this summer that I have spent there. and then it's Roanoke. Really excited about that one.
Gotcha.
If you have the opportunity to go down there and race it, it's a beautiful course. It's a permanent cyclocross venue, which is just amazing and should be in every city. So we're really looking forward to that one. It's still open for registration on Bike Reg. From there, heading up to Rochester, New York. Going to be there. You know, we got racing Saturday and Sunday. We'll be there Friday. My whole thing, I love going a day before.
Yeah,
you know,
just to see what's
the course,
going on, right?
Get a check, do the walkthrough,
right.
and then for the event. So those two, and then it's out to the Midwest, Jingle Cross, and then staying out in Wisconsin for the next week, going to Trek. And then I think after that, we're really, really looking forward to the second year of the Parkway Trophy Series, which is
nice.
Charm City
this year?
And DCCX. I think we got some cool announcements ahead for that as far as increased prize money and just something that I think is going to be it's one of the two UCI series in the U.S. So I'm hoping that with the calendar how it looks now, we can get some top riders out there, you know, to get some good preparation before Cincinnati.
I hope I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm trying to think of who won that series last year. Becca Farringer won on the women's side.
It was a Kona sweep.
Oh, it was Werner then, right?
Yep.
That's what I thought, but I'm like, nah, is that right? Yeah. That was right. Yeah. That's cool. I'm glad you guys are doing
it. It was fun.
Again.
And we do it like the Super Prestige. So it's by time.
Oh, that is so great.
Yeah.
I wish we could do that.
So you got to race hard the whole race.
I love that.
Yeah. So that's it for me. How about you?
We'll get the season started. I had to write it down. Like you and your summer, I'm like, I think I have 2 weekends off this winter. Ready? I'm going to do it rapid fire. Ready?
Yep.
Lionheart CX, Alma GP, then the OVCX starts, then Trek. More OVCX, Red Kite Beach Party, 2-day race in Cincinnati, then the Cincy 2, C1, C2 weekend, OVCX. I have Pan Am with a question mark because it sounds like I'm going up there, but we don't
have
any capacity yet to be seen. The Major Taylor C2, Cap City OVCX finale, and then headed out to Tacoma.
Awesome.
Cool national stuff.
I will see you at some of those places.
For sure.
More than, quite a few.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Thanks for bringing me up to 9,500 feet to be out of breath this entire podcast.
I told that story before, and after I did it, I was like, I'm doing the same thing right now.
Out of breath all the time. There's just a slight hill from where I'm staying to where Bill is staying, and I rode my bike up here, and after 2 days, and it's only 2 days of racing. I know other people have raced longer days. I almost didn't make it.
And then you went too far.
Well, then it's downhill on the way back, and it's going to be 45 degrees.
Yeah. Well,
it's a good problem to have.
You should probably get out of here and get into bed because you got that final day of racing tomorrow. But Scott Herman, always awesome to talk to you.
Thanks,
and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Bill.